Blog Talk Radio.
A good afternoon, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, March 4th, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. It's Oscar weekend here in Los Angeles, so it is the city is abuzz with stars and makeup artists and fashionistas. It's all over the place. Well, we love hearing from you, so join us to listen in or to participate live with questions, comments, or even if you have a good joke. I'm open to good jokes on air by dialing 347-857-2710, and we are here live until 3:45 p.m. Pacific time. Again, that phone number to join us today live on air is 347-857-2710. And, well, let's get right to it, shall we? Spring, it's March 4th, so spring is definitely around the corner, and with its arrival comes love. Very true. I love this time of year. So, all our listeners out there, I just want you to sit back, relax, feel the warmth of the sun's golden rays shining down on you, and enjoy a little love in the afternoon. We are the only radio show offering an abundance of love today, so keep that internet dial tuned in. Well, as most of you know, technology today is key, and it's all so simple, and all you need is a little love. So please welcome the owner of Love Software and Computer Services, Joe Love. Hello, Joe. I was going to call you hello, love.
Yeah, well, I've been called worse.
Yes.
Hello.
I'm sure you've had a lot of play with your last name.
Oh, yes. Lots of it. In high school, I went to school with a fellow by the name of Marshall Darling, and we'd see each other at opposite ends of the hall and go running toward each other, and he would be hollering love, and I'd be hollering darling. And that was, long before things like that were acceptable.
So you came out in high school. That's really nice. Wow. That's
I'm perfectly straight.
You're perfect. You're straight about the love part. Yeah. That's
right.
That's right. So how long have you been in the technology industry?
I got into the technology industry in 1974 when microcomputers were first coming onto the market. The computers were there, and they were nice little computers, but there was no software for them. So I started writing software for them. And then I would get into places where they had the computer, and I'd be taking software out there. The computer wasn't working, so I would have to fix it when I got out there. So, of course, I learned how to fix them.
And is this something you never studied, that you never took a course in? Or
I've taken courses since I got into it, but prior to that, I'd never taken a course. I got into it, and I'm self-taught for the basic part. At this current time, I'm a Microsoft-certified professional, and I have an A-plus rating, which is the technical end, the repair end, and, I did that, though, quite a bit after the fact.
After the fact. So, this is very interesting because the essence of my radio show is for people to be able to, if there is fear involved, or just to take a step towards something. And here you're explaining how you got into the technology world, and you didn't know anything about it, and you just saw that there was a need, and you jumped in and got the knowledge afterward. I find that's fascinating.
Well, I had the need myself in a business that I was in, namely the dry cleaning business, and couldn't cost justify the prices that the big machines wanted, namely the mini computers, which is the next step up from the microcomputers. Mind you, today's microcomputers are now more powerful than those original mini computers, but back then the mini computer, and then the next step up, of course, was the gigantic mainframe, which you're talking in the millions of dollars for those. In any event, the microcomputer world was just starting, and I had a need, and I filled my own need, and then other people started approaching me because they had a need. So I sold the dry cleaning business and started doing computers on a full-time basis.
So you're a successful how to be comfortable in your own shoes story. Because that's truly what it's all about. I think we learned that there are a lot of people in this world that are leaders and doers, and there are people who are followers. You're obviously a leader and a doer, because once you satisfied a need for yourself, other people came to you for your help. So,
right, exactly.
So everybody, let's just start doing. That's really all it takes. It's very simple. So, since you are a Microsoft techie, you're rated. Well, I've always wanted to ask this question: the Mac versus the PC user. What are your thoughts about that?
Okay, depending on who you talk to, the Mac computer comprises anywhere from 5 to 10% of the market. PCs take the balance. In other words, 90 to 95%. They both have a place in the world. If you're in the business of creating graphics, quite honestly, the Mac is your best bet. If you're in the business world or a plain home user, the PC is a better bet. Macs tend to be considerably more expensive than PCs. And when they break down, and they do, as all computers do from time to time, things will go wrong for various reasons. Macs become very expensive to repair. In fact, I've run into situations where for just a couple of $100 more than the cost of the repair part, never mind the labor, it was cheaper for one particular customer to go out and buy a new Mac.
Exactly what he did. What are they? They're in the thousands, like $1,000. What is the price point of a Mac?
Generally, they start, from what I've seen, at about $2,500 and go up from there. Whereas PCs, you can get into them for in the $300 or $400 range. Although I don't personally recommend the $300 or $400 range computers.
Right. Wow, that's quite a difference. But because every time I talk to people and I hear those people that have a Mac, just say the Mac is so wonderful, it never breaks down, and this and that, and you hear, I don't hear as glowing remarks about people who have PCs. But there's always it's technology, so there's always a challenge, like you said. No matter what, it just depends on your need.
Well, when you plug anything into the wall, the power coming into the house is not always stable. And computers, both Macs and PCs, are susceptible to things like power surges. In other words, a sudden increase in the voltage coming in. The push behind the electricity is the voltage. And even the surge protectors that are on the market today aren't fast enough to catch a lot of those spikes or sudden increases in voltage, and that will burn out a power supply. Now, a power supply in a standard desktop PC can be replaced for $100. The particular problem that I was talking about a bit earlier with the Mac, it was the power supply, and it happened from a power surge at this gentleman's place of business, and they wanted $1,900 just for the power supply. That didn't include any labor of installing it. And the reason being, they were the only place you could get it was from Mac, from the Apple people. Whereas with PCs, there's several dozen different manufacturers of power supplies. Hence, the price becomes considerably less.
Exactly, exactly, And I guess it all depends on, you brought up an interesting point, what your purpose for the computer is and how you want to use it, et cetera. The design, the whole Mac, the whole commercialization of Mac is interesting, the advertising and everything, and they really make you want one because they're just so interesting. They're light, they're this, they're that. So that, I've always wondered what your opinion was, and I got it, and I love it.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything against Macs, and I can work on them, and I have. The one thing about a Mac over a PC, and this has to do with the market share, PCs are susceptible to viruses. Macs are not. The reason being, if these, well, I hate to use the word, but idiots that write viruses, and they're not really dumb, they're just wasting valuable energy doing it. In fact, some of them are quite smart. But in any event, they write it for the large share of the market and not for the small share, although there are some viruses that will attack Macs as well.
Well, I think they're writing these viruses just for me alone and my computer. Must be at the top of the list somewhere for a virus. Yoo-hoo, it's me.
Oh, no. I cleaned up your computer, and it was nothing compared to one I did the other day. That poor customer had over 1,000 viruses on her computer.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, what it is, it's and the reason they call them viruses, by the way, when you or I get the flu or a cold, it's one little bug that got into us, and once it's inside of us, it begins multiplying, the same bug over and over and over again, until we get quite ill and our body is finally able to fight it off, or we have to get antibiotics to fight it off, depending on what it is. And then we get better again because our body has killed off the bugs. And that's what happens with these viruses. One, it gets in, and then it begins multiplying, and the same virus multiplies hundreds or thousands of times, depending on how long you leave it for. This one, of course, had been left for a while to grow and multiply.
But I guess, what do you mean by leaving it if you don't maintain, in a sense, your computer, like using that same story with your body? If you don't have an antivirus software or update, that opens the door to new viruses.
Right, and what the thing that people need to remember is that the antivirus software, and I don't care whose it is, only protects the front door and the back door. You have to watch out for the holes in the roof. And the holes in the roof are places like Java. When you get a Java update, do it. QuickTime is another place. Let me just get to the desktop of my computer here.
Oh, we're going to get first-hand information. I love it. So you just say
they can come in. They can come in through Weatherbug. They can come in through Adobe Reader. They can come in through Flash Player. I'd already mentioned QuickTime, Java. Any of these popular items that help you operate your computer better, sometimes there's a hole in the roof, and these guys that write these viruses find that hole and they exploit it, and bingo, you wind up with a virus in your computer. So when it happens, the manufacturers of these things, like Adobe Reader, when Adobe finds out that there is a hole, they do a patch or a fix, and then they send out an update. When you get one of those updates, be sure to do it. Java is a real good one, and Java is one of the things that helps everybody on the Internet. A lot of sites use what's called JavaScript, which gives you your fancy, flashy things that happen on the Internet,
wow,
including your own site, these videos that are showing and things of that nature. are using Java.
Well, this is good to know. Similar to maintaining your own body, the computer is a tool in your work life, in your everyday life, so you have to maintain it with these various softwares so they don't get these viruses. And of course, it happens every now and then, but I mean, to have 1,000, that's quite a...
Yeah, and if you don't look after them when they happen, then that's what happens. They begin to multiply, and it gets to the point where it takes over the whole computer, and it makes it that much more expensive to get rid of them because it takes more time to get rid of them.
Right. So with technology growing in so many different areas, and a lot of people are turning to more handheld devices, phones, from the iPhone to Verizon's the Droid, it gives you internet access, et cetera. Do you see a shift in technology, or what would you recommend to somebody who wants a computer? What are two important things to look out for when purchasing a computer?
Well, the one thing you want to make sure of is that you're buying a computer from a reputable place, and you want to know what the warranty is. You want to know what's inside of the computer in the way of the type of brain, which is generally referred to as the CPU or the processor. Nowadays, they're pretty well all dual core. In other words, there are two processors in the same little package. And, of course, if you want a really fast computer, you go to the quad core, which is four processors in the same package, which means that, okay, they started out as a single processor in the package. When you went to the dual core, it makes the computer almost twice as fast, and a quad core makes it almost four times as fast for the same speed of processor. The other thing you want to make... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The other thing that you want to make sure of is that you get enough cache memory. Now, that's not the kind of cache as spending, but cache memory is very fast memory, and the processor needs cache memory in order to work. It has to have some. Those $389 computers have the minimal amount, and that's why I don't recommend them, because if it doesn't have enough cache memory, then it uses regular memory, which is slower, and that slows down the computer. And that's something you want to attempt to avoid, is
true,
slowing things down.
Slowing down the computer with all this, with the videos,
well,
YouTube, and all these, the new information adds a lot of...
No, those aren't what slow the computer down. What slows it down is when the processor, it might be running at 3 gigahertz, which is very fast when you stop and think about it. And then if it has to wait for part of the computer that is slower, then that's going to slow everything down. And it will wait for it, but you want to try to avoid as much of that wait time as possible. And when we're talking about time here, we are talking in terms of nanoseconds, which are thousandths, 1/1,000 of a second is a nanosecond. So we're not talking about a great deal of time in, you know, when you and I think of time in terms of seconds or minutes, but when you take those 1,000th of a second and you multiply that out, then it takes many of our personal seconds to do something that could be done in a much shorter period of time if there is enough of the faster memory. Of course, that faster memory raises the price of the computer.
Well, especially with today's younger generation, everything is so immediate that I think speed is key. The faster something is, the better it is. Because I've had people tell me, I called you yesterday, I emailed you and texted you, and why haven't I heard from you? So everything is so immediate. Everybody wants it yesterday. So I'm sure with technology, speed is key.
Yes, this is true. And while that computer might look really fast to begin with, that $389 computer, in very short order, you'll be sitting and twiddling your thumbs, waiting for the computer, and you're only talking 10 or 15 or 20 seconds, but when you're sitting and waiting for that time to go by, that's a long time.
Yes. I can imagine. I don't know if you are aware, there was an article in the LA Times not too long ago about some of these internet carriers, how they are charging you a specific fee for your internet service and not providing the service.
That is true. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Well, I was just saying that I know for myself, my carrier, that is the case. I'm so far from the hub that the connection is so weak and poor that I don't even get the type of service that I'm paying for. And I don't know how many people actually are aware of that. And I think you mentioned something to me about a dish type of service.
Right. There's a service out there called HughesNet, and it works from a satellite so that the distance from the origin point is not a problem. However, that service is generally more expensive than a regular DSL line. DSL, by the way, stands for Digital Subscriber Line.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And everything in computers is digital, which means that it's a series of zeros and ones. And that's all a computer really can understand, either an electrical charge, which is a one, or no electrical charge, which is a zero. Everything down at the basic level of a computer, that's all it knows. And by putting those together in combinations, it can do everything we see computers do. For your listeners, if they want to find out what their service is like, if they go into Google and type in speed test, SPEEDTEST, all one word, it'll bring up speedtest.net, the global broadband speed test. And that speed test runs and tells you what your internet service is providing you. And if your carrier has told you one thing and you're getting something else, you need to speak with that carrier and say, hey, what's going on here? Now, as in your case, because you're a long way from the source point, the further away you get, the slower the speed becomes. It's a fancy word called attenuation.
I've got it. That's what I have.
And what that means is it's just losing itself in the wiring coming to you.
There are opportunities to get service, because I, like you just mentioned before, speed is very important to get on. It should be simple. You click, you get on, you get your information, and then you go.
Right. But of course, you have to look at the economics of it as well. The faster the speed, the more it's going to cost you. And you can get speeds that are virtually instantaneous, but most people really don't need that much speed because, A, they can't afford it, or I shouldn't say afford, that's a bad word. Most of us can afford lots of things. It's a case of how do you want to spend your money? And
right.
I mean, I'm using it all of the time, and I'm using it to earn a living. So I'm paying more and having a very high-speed system here. Most people don't need as high a speed system as I'm using. In your case, you were using two different lines, and hence I suggested the HughesNet, which may come out to be about the same number of dollars that you're spending, but you're going to get more speed out of it.
I like I like how that sounds. I like the more speed.
Yeah. I've got one customer who could actually save money by going to HughesNet. They're in a commercial building, and unfortunately, their landlord will not allow them to put up a dish. They just, no way, no how. And, you know, that happens as well, and there's not much you can do about that kind of a situation. He's just being, hate to say it, but unreasonable.
That's true.
But like I say, you can find out what your speed is. In fact, I ran a speed test on your system when I was at your place, and you weren't getting what you're paying for, but because of your distance, there isn't much we can do about it with your carrier.
Exactly. I kind of long for the days when I could just sit down and write a handwritten letter to somebody, and I would just wait few days for a response, if any, because sometimes technology is a little unnerving, because in my experience, there always seems to be a glitch somewhere, but that's good for you, because that keeps you in business.
Yes, it does, and what's been keeping me most busy, besides the odd physical hardware breakdown, like a laptop screen going out, or I just picked up a desktop from a customer. The computer's working fine, but can't see anything on the monitor because his video section is having a problem. But that's aside from that, the majority of what I do nowadays seems to be virus removal.
Virus removal, but you're also very talented in the design field. You design software also.
I can custom write software if somebody has a need for something that isn't already on the market. I've written everything from accounting systems, customized accounting systems, to pig feed mixing systems. And no, I don't know anything about feeding pigs. I just designed the software so that the pig farmer could identify the various products that went in and how much in terms of weight of each product. The computer read a scale and ran an auger, a device that brought the product in and dumped it into the scale until it reached the predetermined weight, the weight set by the pig farmer. And then the next product and next product, and when it was all together, then it ran a big paddle wheel mixer, and then when it was done mixing, it would dump it into the mixed bin and feed it out to the pigs.
I don't
all
think you get
totally
much of
a
call for a pig feeding software, do you?
I've done six of them, and each
really?
One was a little bit different than the other one.
No, was this for the same farmer, same company?
No, they were different farmers.
Would you say that was the most unusual software you had to design?
Yes. That's the most unusual.
And what is the most common? What do most people want in a software that's maybe not out there in a prepackaged software?
Some form of accounting software. For example, keeping track of hours worked when the same employee is doing three different jobs at three different pay rates. It isn't a case of the fact that they worked 8 hours today. They worked 2 hours on at pay rate one and 3 hours on pay rate two. And 2 hours on pay rate three, and so on.
That's interesting. I think that's fascinating. It would be so nice to have a software that has all the needs, all your needs met.
Yeah, and that's where custom software can come in. Of course, custom software is going to be considerably more expensive than off-the-shelf software.
But at least you're getting what you want.
You're getting exactly what you want and need. And the other thing I do, of course, is I will custom build desktop computers. For example, I've got one customer who is producing DVDs for his business. His business is making specialized movies, and we won't go into what those specialized movies are.
Does it have anything to do with love?
Well, I wouldn't call it
on the back
love,
the back end
yeah.
of love.
Yeah. I call it a Chatsworth business, but if anybody knows what happens in Chatsworth.
That's right. It's the biggest business in the San Fernando Valley.
That's correct.
Larry Flint's in it, for those of us, those listeners that are outside of California.
Yep, that's the one. Anyways, he's producing these movies, so I built him a computer that would allow him to edit the movies and burn the DVD, the test DVD, and then from the test DVD, once he has it exactly the way he wants it, he then puts it into a machine that'll burn 12 DVDs at a time from the master.
That's quite a computer.
Well, the machine that's doing the mass production is a specialized machine that it just has a whole stack of DVD drives in it, like 13 of them, one that reads it and 12 that burn. And when it's done burning those, it dumps them out and loads fresh DVDs in and then goes through the process again for as many iterations as he tells it to go through.
Wow. I guess that's what keeps you so involved in your business, that every day it's a different thing, and then you have customers who want special software or to have you design for them a particular desktop for their business needs. So it's a very creative field.
Right, or another kind of computer. In fact, I've got one part of one here to repair right at the moment. Computers that run equipment. I repaired a computer that ran a saw sharpening machine, and the one I've got here on the bench at the moment runs a milling machine. And when those computers go down, you're talking about $40,000 or $50,000 to buy a new one. So if at all possible, you want to get them repaired. And my competition, they'll look at something like that and say, we have no idea what that is. But I've done it. I've done truck scale weighing computers as well. And I've had to, in order to fix them, climb underneath the truck scale in the dirt and bugs and everything to find out where the problem was. That's always a fun job.
I think that is a fun job, but it sounds like you've created a certain niche for yourself that that other people either are not interested in doing or
don't know how to do.
I'm sorry?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating, and I'm often curious when you talked about, you just mentioned the software, the computer that counts does the mill work? How many?
Oh yeah, the milling machine.
Milling machine. How many employees does that machine represent?
Well, if you were going to be doing milling like that by hand, it's one. I mean, you can do that kind of milling on a lathe, but you're talking about one operator for 4 or 5 hours to mill a particular piece of metal to meet the specifications of the job it's supposed to do. Whereas, and that's fine if you're just doing one of a kind, but if you're doing production work, you might want 100 of those pieces, and you don't want to spend 400 or 500 hours of operator time doing it, where you can program the computer to produce the same piece of metal over and over again, and it takes the operator 2 minutes to put the fresh piece of metal in, and he comes back half an hour later, takes out the milled piece, and puts in another fresh piece of metal. So you can get the job done much, much faster with considerably less manpower.
And more effective, obviously.
Yeah, and far better tolerances, because the computer isn't going to make a mistake like a man could make. And when I'm talking about a mistake, we're talking, again, in very small quantities, or very small dimensions, millionths of an inch.
Right, exactly. But sometimes I always feel with the invention of technology and its growth that one day there will be fewer and fewer people because technology will take over. I'm sure it's not going to happen, but sometimes it just feels that way. Because if you go into a corporate office, sometimes there's not even a receptionist there to greet you. There is a sign with a phone that says, please dial the extension of the person you're wanting to see. And so, it's as if I come to your home and you're not there. You know, nobody's there to greet me. The door's open. I just come in, and to me that kind of loses. There's an intimacy that's lost.
That's true in the situation you're talking about. But as far as it cutting down people, it just changed the job from the mundane receptionist sitting there waiting for people to come in and calling Mr. A or Mr. B because Sam Jones or Bob Smith is here to see him. And obviously those names are out of thin air, but it created the jobs of somebody to design those phones, to build those phones, and to keep them running.
That's true.
So it's changing the job market rather than truly eliminating jobs.
I hope so. I really do. I think because of technology, it's a wonderful tool, and I think it has so many advances, and we continue to learn so much through the advancement of technology that can change our personal lives, in our private life, as well as in our corporate or office business life, but I still think there's nothing better than talking mano-a-mano with someone in person in a situation, because you get information that you don't glean from a text message or even writing an email. And it's nice to feel the human touch. So sometimes I just feel that, especially today with what's going on in the economy, you know, people are losing their jobs, and It's unfortunate, and technology has its role.
That's true. It does. It has its role, and it definitely has a place in our society. And in fact, if you've got a clock radio, or a digital watch, or a microwave oven, or a car newer than about 78, all of those devices are computer run.
That's right.
A TiVo, or these DVRs that you have on your TV set, those are nothing more than computers.
It's true. Everything is a computer nowadays. Everything has some form of mechanism.
That's right.
Yeah. Well,
that's right.
Joe, I don't know where the time went. It must be because it's all the love you're giving out. It went by so fast. It's been so delightful. And before we leave, I do want to give out contact information for you so our listeners can call you with any computer, software design, any kind of problems they have.
Yeah,
so,
any computer problems.
Where can our listeners reach? Why don't you give out the information?
Okay, they can call me at area code 818-907-7538, and I will handle emergencies on a 24-hour-a-day basis, but my normal business hours are from 7 a.m. till 8 p.m. Pacific time.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And you have a website, too, right?
At the moment, I don't. I haven't had time to do my own website.
Aha! The cobbler's children go shoeless.
Exactly. And my father was a shoemaker.
See, I knew that. All right. Well, great. So terrific, Joe. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes today. It's been quite informative, as I'm learning on a daily basis from you all this technology stuff, and I hope our listeners enjoyed the love also. And once again, just give our listeners that phone number where they can contact you.
Area code 818-907-7538.
Great, Joe. Thank you so much. And stay tuned for a smaller segment of Serious Reservations. I wanted to thank last week our shoes went on a little field trip to Domenico Restaurant in Silver Lake, where we had an enjoyable lunch with proprietor Domenico Frasca. And it was an Italian-style lunch with paninis, pasta, and beautiful salads. And I just want to thank Domenico for hosting the lunch. It was délicieux, as we say in French. It was delicious. So if you didn't get the information on Domenico Ristorante from last week's show, let me give you that contact number. It's 323-661-6166. And Domenico's website is DomenicoRistaurantSilverLake.com. DomenicoRistaurantSilverLake.com. Well, let me tell you about this week's Serious Reservation experience. I met a friend. I had a reunion with my friend, and I want to give a hello to my dear friend, Rebecca. I know you're listening. And we met at one of L.A.'s standbys. It's a landmark. It's been there for 60 years, called Nate and Nell's. It's a deli. And if you ever want to see a celebrity sighting, you don't go to Hollywood Boulevard. You don't go to Hollywood and Highland. You don't go to the Hollywood Wax Museum. You go to Nate and Nell's on Beverly Drive in the city of Beverly Hills. That's where you go for celebrity sightings. And just to name a few of the celebrity sightings that we encountered, Shelley Berman. I love Shelley Berman. I'm dating myself with Shelley Berman, but he was there. He's a comedian. He's a la Milton Berle. I don't know. He looked fabulous. Then we had the Oscar-nominated director of Precious, Lee Daniels, TV host of the Late, Late, Late Show, Carson Daly, and a lovely film actress, Lake Bell, who had a starring role in the Meryl Streep movie, It's Complicated. Not to mention the fabulous corned beef on rye and matzah brie that my dear friend Rebecca and I shared. And it's also, as I mentioned earlier, Oscar weekend. So who are you going to wear? What you're going to eat? Get ready. Have a party. Have a lot of fun. And enjoy yourself. And I wanted to let our listeners know, if you'd like to contact me, you can email me at goodvibe, V-I-B, as in boy, E, experience, at gmail.com. That's goodvibeexperience at gmail.com. Would love to hear from you, all your questions, answers, jokes. And if you also have any restaurant news that you'd like to share with me a restaurant experience. Love to hear that as well. Well, join me next time for another Wild and Crazy show, and our shoes will definitely be on the move. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you for joining me and listening to the show. See you next time. Bye-bye. Joe?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. You know what? Let me call you on the cell phone.
Okay.
Okay? I'll call you at the 970 number.
Right.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks.